Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast. I'm Rex Nelson of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Appreciate you joining us again, and appreciate an old friend. I guess old is the operative word now. We both are getting old. Michael, we've been at this a long time. Michael Marion, the manager of Simmons Bank Arena since the day it opened. I have to ask before, because you've got a lot going on, and I want to talk about that, but I have to ask, when you moved to Little Rock from Tupelo, Mississippi, did you have any idea? I'm going to spend the rest of my career doing this.
You know, you never know in this business. You know, I laugh and say some of my brothers and sisters that run Billings are, should have been Methodist preachers because they move every 5 years. But I was, you know, fortunate when I got here that, you know, we got a great board, a lot of community support, and this worked out really well. And, you know, I've had some opportunities to go other places, but, you know, the grass is not always greener.
Nope, it's
and,
not.
And, you know, I love Arkansas and love being here. I'm a good Southern boy, and you know, I've had, as I said, I've had some offers in some faraway places, but I'd just soon stay right here.
Of course, you got here, construction going on. It was, the arena wasn't even open yet. Let's go back. You were managing an arena in your home state of Mississippi, and what attracted you to Central Arkansas in the first place?
Well, you know, when I was an agent in Los Angeles, that's what I did before I moved back to Tupelo. For 6 years, I was an agent, and I handled we handled some big artists like Tina Turner and Whitney Houston, a lot of different Robert Palmer and Steve Winwood, a lot of artists, and one of the things that I noticed was that Little Rock was constantly getting skipped because the building was kind of small, it was older, it was not a real desirable place to play. Now, I know they had some big concerts at Barton. I'm not missing that, but it, you know, you could tell the market needed a new building.
Right.
And so when I was in Tupelo running the 9,000-seat building there, I got wind of the fact that they were building a building here. So at the time, the board had a contract with a private management company, and the man that ran the private management company used to run the Summit, and I was his agent. So, you know, the old connections
there,
with one degree of separation. So I called, his name was Mike McGee. I called Mike and said, Mike, I'd be interested in this job in Little Rock because I think...
potential there.
There's a lot of pent-up demand there, I really think. So, as I said, he and I had gotten along really well, and he was certainly, he was interested in me, so he hired me and moved me here, and come April, it'll be 25 years that I've been here.
Wow, 25 years in April. I remember, you know, the excitement around the construction. Time really, really flies, I guess, when you're having fun. And the thing that has always amazed me, and I'm not just blowing smoke at you, Michael, is your ability to get shows that generally even wouldn't be in this size market. You've just seemed to have had a magic touch over the past quarter of a century, and it continues. You mentioned those 6 years out in Southern California as an agent. How much did it mean to build those contacts? That has to be key, I would think, to have industry contacts all around the country.
And you're right, Rex. That was very important. And, you know, as far as our market, I like to tell people we pretend we're bigger than we are.
Yeah. Yeah, and, we punch above our weight.
We absolutely. And in that 6 years as an agent, I got to know a lot of people, establish a lot of relationships. And, you know, they say there's two things that matter in this business. It's relationships and money. And the fact that these artist representatives, whether they're agents, promoters, managers, know me and trust me and have seen the results of what we've done, that we've got a solid staff that takes care of business, all those pieces of the puzzle have really worked well here.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, that 6 years as an agent was really helpful because I understand what's going on the other side of the phone. And that's really been helpful to me as I deal with people, that I understand how they're having to operate, because I had to do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to you being here from the start, those of us of a certain age, and I'm certainly of a certain age to have clear memories, it doesn't seem like it's been that many years ago, but right out the bat, so much excitement over the new arena, NBA exhibition game set, and then the infamous Raker Beam incident. You had to wonder then, what have I gotten into, at least for a few days?
Yes, it was, needless to say, a very stressful time. You know, we were very fortunate to have a leader like Bob Russell to stand up there and say, we're not going to open until this place is fixed right. Mm-hmm. And to their credit, you know, one of the things that you didn't hear about was a lot of people getting sued over this because the attorney for the board made sure that the architect, the engineers, and the construction manager all had the same insurance.
Oh, wow.
So they weren't pointing fingers at each other.
Yeah, at each other, yeah.
So that's why we were able to get open for Elton John.
Yeah.
Because very quickly that got settled, and we got our money back, you know, for the Lakers and all those things. Actually, it was amazing how quickly it settled out. And then Elton showed up and the building stood up.
And packed the building. My wife and I were sitting on the upper deck, and my wife, you know, a little bit skittish, and I remember telling her, I said, look, this is the most inspected building in America now. After that, I can promise you. They have looked at every brick, everything now, the most inspected. It was a wonderful evening. Elton comes back on his farewell tour just recently. You've kind of come full circle all these years.
Absolutely.
Full houses for both events, by the way.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And Elton acknowledged that he opened the building and was glad to be there. And, you know, and one of the funny things was that the day after Elton, you know, we did Jeff Dunham. And Jeff Dunham came out, you know, he does a little stand-up before he brings out his puppets. And he said, I just want to thank Elton John for opening for me. So, yes, that was a certainly an exciting time in getting the building open. And you know, we marched on down the road and we've had a good solid run, I think.
You really have. And I want to talk about the present because coming back strong. But I do want to – we've got to go back to the pandemic and how you survived that. Let me start with this, and that is, of course, we passed a temporary countywide tax that was used to build the arena. Now, there was no tax passed for ongoing maintenance and operations. So that has always, these past 20-plus years, Michael, put the pressure on you. You've got to make money, don't you?
That's right. We started out with $1 million reserve, and thinking of COVID, you know, the thought was, well, that $1 million was for a rainy day, but of course, COVID was a monsoon.
It was worse than a rainy day. Yeah,
that's a different story. But to your point, over the years, what we've tried to do is the years we make money, we get to keep it, and we invested in the building. So that, you know, we didn't want to have a situation where 20 years later we go to the taxpayers and say, oh, we need $20 million, mm-hmm. you know, because we got to get all this stuff fixed. We tried to fix it as we go along and improve it. And of course, you know, the naming rights deal was really a fantastic thing because if you remember, Alltel gave us all that money 2 years before we opened. And we used that money for construction. So for 20 years, we didn't get any money for naming rights. But mm-hmm. then Simmons came along. And now we're getting $650,000 a year from them, and we're using that money. You notice the new skin on the building.
Oh, I was going to tell you, Michael, you got tired of me and others complaining about that dirty white roof,
you know, and
I've got to tell you, both inside and out, I'm being honest with you, I don't think the arena's ever looked better than it does right now.
Well, thank you. We over the years, you know, we've replaced some tiles on the floor, we've painted, you know, we've done a lot of different small things, you know, that add up over the years, but putting that skin on the building, but that money that we're getting from Simmons has really made a difference. Obviously, it made a difference during COVID. Mm-hmm. Kudos to them for going ahead and paying it, even though we were closed. But we, that's what we wanted to make sure, that this building is good for another 20 years. And, you know, that's what I keep reminding my staff is that we need to look at the building with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
You know, let's not keep stepping over the same things. Let's pick them up. Let's see what we need to do. You may have noticed our concession stands. We've decorated those.
I have.
You know, just little things like that make it look fresh and newer.
You have done that. And talk a little bit about the move toward, you know, more private club type opportunities. That's something that seems to me that has changed in the industry in recent years.
Absolutely. This is something that we learned from our brothers and sisters that run these NBA and NHL buildings, that people want a premium offering. They want not just a ticket, but if they have a chance to do something extra, they want to do it. And so we have our Vibe Room, which is a 400-seat area back at the back of the building. If you buy that ticket for $25, you have an exclusive entrance. It's not early entry, but it is an exclusive entrance.
Right.
And then you've got an exclusive bar there. We get the top-selling piece of merch and put it there so you don't have to stand in the merch line. And, there's some a couple of appetizers. So that's one thing that we've done that's been very successful. We also took a couple of old rooms downstairs and made them into the Legends Lounge, which is another upsell. For about $75, you get a meal. You get to come in 30 minutes early. Mm. Once again, the merch is there. That meal includes some certain drinks. And so it's just an opportunity to come and have a nice meal, be at the show. And that one sells out pretty regularly. So, and to your point, you go to these NBA, NHL buildings, and they've got premium offerings
everywhere.
All over the place.
Absolutely.
So we followed in that, and our finance director, Jared Lillard, really led that charge for us to get that done. And it's worked out really well.
Let's get back to the pandemic. How on earth did you survive that? I mean, we're looking at 2 years ago now. When the world shut down in March of 2020, sports events started canceling. Of course, all the concerts canceled. Describe kind of, you know, what you were dealing with then and how you made it until the present as we now are pretty much getting back to normal, thankfully.
Yes, you know, I'll never forget March the 13th. We had Toby Mac coming.
That's right.
He had unloaded and they were set up.
Well, the trucks were here.
Yes, they were unloaded and ready to go. And the promoter and I were sitting in the conference room watching TV, and the president declared a state of national emergency, and we looked at each other and said, we can't do this show.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't, and then everything shut down. As you know, we don't get any money from the taxpayers, so we laid off people, we furloughed people, we cut salaries, did all those things that businesses had to do in order to survive. We had that, as I mentioned, we had $1 million reserve fund, and we're very thankful that come September that Simmons paid that naming rights money. So that certainly helped us. And then about that time, they made PPP entities like ours, because we were not a bit, we were quasi-government.
Quasi, right, exactly.
And we were originally not eligible for PPP, but they changed that and we were. And certainly give a kudos to our congressional delegation for helping out with that. And then they came up with the Shuttered Venues, which was a grant program from the SBA, and we certainly qualified for it. And so that got us some money. So that all of that gave us breathing room to keep going and to hang in there and hang on to the people. That was the other thing I was worried about, was just hanging on to the folks that we had, because it's a pretty specialized business.
Mm-hmm.
So
it really is.
We were able to get that Shuttered Venues money, and again we had furloughed people. We had what we call Mo Monday, and I had my senior staff, the head of the box office, the head of operations, everybody, this our finance director. We were all out there mowing the yard. I mean, I was behind a Honda self-propelled lawnmower mowing the loading dock.
Yeah.
And so that's just, that's just kind of what it took. We cleaned up our own place. We let go all the temporaries.
Right.
And so,
right.
We were handling, vacuuming the office and whatever it took. And that's what it was. It's just whatever it took. And Mo Mondays turned into it was a good workout. That's for sure.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. Well, it appears as I knock on wood here that you have survived. Before I talk about, because you've got some big upcoming shows coming up, I want to talk about recent shows, because ever since late last year through the start of 2022, you've been packing them in with some good crowds, haven't you?
Yeah, we had. Our first show was in June. We did Mike Epps as a comedy show. It was socially distanced. So that was certainly interesting. We used the whole building and had 4,000 people in it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They were all 6 feet apart. And then we did the same thing with Disney on Ice. And then then in August things kind of started rolling with Foreigner and a lot of different shows. And as you said, it seems like the business is coming back. Certainly, Omicron scared us all, but. I had 3 shots and I'm like, what else can I do?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
with that being the case, I know what really gave me hope was in September when Delta was going on, we put George Strait on sale and it sold out in a week.
Did it really?
Yes. George holds the record for the largest crowd we've ever had at 18,004 people. And he does his show in the round. Elton was sold out, but it's not in the round.
Not in the round, right.
You can't sit in the seats behind, but George sells all the way around. So that one, came along, and I was really encouraged that, obviously people are thinking that by March of this year, things are going to be a lot better. So then we, carried on with Morgan Wallen, who sold out 2 shows in a matter of hours, doing 14,000 each night. Then we did Harry Styles, where it was 17,000 girls from 15 to 30. And being a classic rock kind of guy, you'll appreciate this. I was walking, I walk around the concourse during, four things get cranked up before I have to go backstage and settle with them. And the music they were playing, well, first on Morgan Wallen, country act, right? The music they played before he went on stage was Welcome to the Jungle.
Oh, wow.
I'm at a country show listening to Guns N' Roses.
That is interesting.
What's happened to country music?
Yeah.
Then we do Harry Styles, and they start up Bohemian Rhapsody. And every girl in that place knew it, and all 17,000 sang that whole song.
Did they really?
And I'm going, this is a 50-year-old song.
Yeah.
And these little girls all know it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That sounds
our music
fun.
Has definitely made it to the next generation.
It really has. We'll be back with more of the Southern Fried Podcast, but first, this break. Hi, Rex Nelson here. Thanks for listening so far. A lot of the topics we cover here on the Southern Fried Podcast and many more can be found on the pages of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. If you'd like to support this great newspaper's commitment to bringing you the latest in Arkansas news, sports, and entertainment, consider subscribing to the Democrat Gazette today. With your subscription, you'll get a digital edition of the newspaper every morning, along with the latest news and updates delivered to you on an iPad, provided at no extra cost. For just $34 a month, you'll get the same award-winning journalism you've come to expect from the Democrat Gazette, including my 3 weekly columns, plus exclusive photo galleries, videos, articles, and digital extras, all in the palm of your hand. To sign up today, call 1-800-482-1121 or visit us online at arkansasonline.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. It seems to me that there is a lot of pent-up demand. You mentioned the big crowds for these recent shows. You've got some huge shows coming up in the spring and summer of 2022. Talk a little bit about the rest of the year.
Yeah, we did Reba, and I'll be honest with you, I knew she'd do well. Gosh, she did 13,000 people. It was amazing. But, we had a 2 weekends where we had Elton, and then we had Jeff Dunham, then we had JoJo Siwa, which I know you're a big JoJo Siwa fan. She's a YouTube star.
Yeah, you're going to have to tell me.
And every old
uncool guy sitting here.
Unless you have a 10-year-old and a little girl somewhere that's related, she knows who JoJo Siwa is. But we did that show. And then the next weekend, and this is talking about COVID and what we have to deal with, the next weekend was going to be Globetrotters, Alabama, and the comedian, I'll think of his name in a minute. But two of the guys with Alabama got COVID.
Oh, wow.
So we had to reschedule.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of, you know, I mean, you remember Elton?
You were his first show back after being off.
That's kind of again, the world we live in where when I come to work, I'm going, am I going to get an email today saying so-and-so got COVID and we're rescheduling? Mm-hmm. But so far, so good. But yeah, looking into the future, you know, with George Strait and Eric Church in March, those are two huge shows. We've got, we just did professional bull riding. That was we had Saturday night, we did over 7,000. It was really a good night for that. This weekend, we've got Monster Trucks, the loudest show we do in the building. And I had a friend the other day saying they were bringing their little boy. I said, well, you got some earplugs for him? Because we have an area of the building we call the crying corner, where the moment they crank up all those trucks, about 10 dads walk out with crying kids.
Have to leave with the kids, yeah.
So that night, we make a lot of money on the earplugs.
Yeah.
So we've got Disney on Ice coming. You know, that's a big family show. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of back into, and then we reschedule the Globetrotters because of the weather.
Right.
And then we rescheduled Alabama, and then we've got, as I mentioned, you know, George Strait is sold out. There's a few tickets left. Eric Church is up around 10,000. So we've announced, you know, for next fall, we've got Chris Stapleton, Jason Aldean, who's the other country act? Luke Bryan. So there's a lot of country out there. Those artists aren't worried about COVID.
Yeah,
they
want
to get out and work. But in the meantime, the day after George Strait, we're doing Journey.
Oh, wow. And you talk, I was going to ask about this later. You talk about the day after, and that happens quite a bit. And I have to believe that means that your staff gets to pull an all-nighter, right?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that?
Yes.
I would think you would work all night to tear down and build back up.
Yeah, the turnover crew, you know, they kind of roll their eyes when I start doing this stuff. But, I mean, we've got Casting Crowns on the 24th. On the 25th.
Which month now?
I'm sorry, March.
Oh, March.
March
okay.
24th, Casting Crowns. Then we got Slipknot on the 25th, one of your favorites, I'm sure. I kind of miss that whole screaming metal stuff.
Yeah. You know? I miss that era myself.
Yes, I'm not too upset about that. And then we've got Eric Church, and then Alabama, and then the Globetrotters. Five days, five shows.
Oh, wow.
Yes, the staff hates me, but you're right. We have a great operations staff. Heather does a great job rounding the people up to change over from one show to the next, get the building clean. It's a real challenge.
Yeah.
But, you know, they know that we take them when we can get them. But, yeah, we've got a lot on our plate right now. And fortunately, we're labor-wise, you've heard those stories, but most of our folks have come back. That's, mm-hmm. that's been really nice. You know, a lot of the familiar faces at the arena are still there. So I think we've probably got 75 to 80% of our regular part-timers back. Same thing, you know, for the concession stands. With the concession stands, we've got nonprofits working in there, and they've had a tough time getting their staff, so we've had to go out and actually hire people to work in there. But that's okay. I mean, as long as, you know, that's, and we ask people to be patient. I know the Razorback game, two of the groups didn't show up, and we couldn't open all the concession stands. Mm. So this is just, you know, it's kind of like when you go to the restaurant and not all the tables are available because they don't have enough help. We run into the same situation.
Yeah, I was there that night. And I will mention, by the way, as it turned out, it was their worst performance on the court so far this season. They're doing so well now.
Yes, they turned it around.
But almost every year, Arkansas's biggest non-conference crowd is not in Fayetteville, it's in North Little Rock. And this year, same thing. By far, their biggest crowd for a non-conference game.
Absolutely. You know, and I remember meeting with Frank Broyles years and years and years ago and talking about that and how, you know, the idea was scheduled during Christmas when the students are not on campus. Mm-hmm. And we will get huge crowds, and we have.
Yeah.
It didn't matter who the coach was, didn't really matter. Of course, let's be honest, usually by the time they get to our game, they're undefeated or only lost one.
Right, right, so exactly, early in the season.
Everybody's thinking, number one seed, here we come. But, years ago we went through, I think, 3 years where we lost 3 years in a row, and everybody's going, oh, what's wrong with coming to Little Rock, blah, blah, blah. And then they won for, I think, 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
And then this is the greatest thing they ever did. And then now we didn't have a good game this year.
Yeah.
Hey, they're number two in the SEC right now.
Oh, absolutely. You and I both. Now, you're on the Mississippi State side, of course. Right. Your alma mater. But right. We love SEC sports. Talking about good crowds for that Arkansas game, and you know what a sports nut I am. So I'm still holding out, Michael, to get March Madness back here one of these days. And the thing that impressed me, of course, it helped to have Memphis have a great team from right down the road. But the year we got those first and second round games here, you watch television on that first Thursday, that first Friday, you're going to see half empty stands at most of the locations. We sold out every session.
Oh, are you kidding? We sold it out a year in advance.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been, needless to say, disappointed. And Gretchen Hall can tell you too. We've gotten up every year to make the bid, and UALR has to make the bid. We don't actually make the bid.
Yes, exactly. But the school has to host it.
Right, but they've certainly been supportive, and we're just, you know, whatever reason, it just didn't work out, and I'm disappointed. But we're going to get up to bat every time.
Yeah, keep plugging.
Absolutely.
I think it will, because, like I said, we had packed stands, and when the games start, just watch, and you're going to see most of the locations again for the Thursday and Friday games are fairly empty when you look around.
Good point. Some of them are kind of used to getting it, but it's kind of like, you know, the women's SEC tournament. The first year we did it, we set a new attendance record for them.
Yeah.
And so. Yeah, we certainly, you know, we'd like to get the women back. We've done SEC gymnastics and had been very successful at that, and want to try to get that back and certainly get an NCAA. So we'll get up to bat for that again.
Wonderful. Now, to expand out the vision a little bit, let's go back to the start again. Of course, what the voters did countywide is the agreement was made. We're going to put the arena over on the North Little Rock side of the river. We're going to expand the State House Convention Center on the Little Rock side of the river. We need to act as one metro area. Both sides of the river are going to benefit. But when that arena was built, quite frankly, that was still a pretty depressing neighborhood,
yes,
Michael. And we've seen the explosion down Main Street of the downtown Argenta area.
Yes.
And now the old city administration building next to you, that's being marketed for perhaps a new hotel, an exciting new development, which I think will happen. We see really upscale apartments springing up along the river. We see... of course, Dickie Stevens Park was later built, which is one of the finest minor league facilities in the country. It's a far different neighborhood than the one you came to 25 years ago.
Absolutely. I remember, you know, when we were officing downtown where Reno's is, was our office.
Nothing but a few furniture stores.
That's
down
right.
There
was
point.
Nothing
no
down there, and you had to walk under that nasty bridge, and you had that railroad berm, and it was just, it was not good, and everybody knew that. But it's just been amazing, the development, and not just us, but just all the good things that are going on and down. And I always, you know, we're a county building, so we're Switzerland, you know. We know there's something north of the river and south of the river.
That's right. That's
so
right.
We don't pick sides, but we know that when we do an event, Argenta does great. River Market does great. I mean, I'm this is anecdotal, but you can certainly see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we have something going on, there's a lot of good things going on both sides of the river. But to see how well North Little Rock has done, it's just fantastic.
Man, you drive down there now to the Rockwater neighborhood, for instance. The riverfront in North Little Rock has become a very cool place to live, frankly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I just, you know, in terms of, I think about the vision that Buddy Valines was certainly, you know, fundamental in getting this all done. I really think we've delivered on what he promised in terms of the event load, in terms of what it's done for both sides of the river. So I feel like, you know, the promises that were made have really come through on this.
How's the 30 Crossing project affecting you, if at all?
You know, not really. We've been to a number of meetings with the highway department people and of course, North Little Rock PD, who is another great partner in all this. They have taken real ownership of that building. They never want anything to happen there that people say, you know, not come. And so they work closely with the highway department. But you know, probably the night of George Strait, they're going to close a lane or something. Just Murphy's Law at work. But they've certainly been sensitive to what we're doing, and it has not interfered in our minds. When we send out our know before you go email, we remind people there's construction all around us, and you never know what's going to go where. But honestly, that new Texas turnaround they've got, you know, that kind of temporary one, that's worked out all right. And I don't know about you, but I find most folks, A, they figure out how to get there if they really want to see it.
Well, I was going to say, again, going back to those early days, more than two decades ago, I remember everybody, where are we going to park? Where are we going to park? And they were worried for that Elton John show. And within weeks, if not maybe months, people figured out there's plenty of parking around. And I have always said, Michael, I spent 4 years in Washington, D.C., walking to work, walking everywhere I went. And I've always said, Arkansans just need to learn to walk a couple of blocks. It's good for you. And it turned out all those parking concerns weren't a concern at all.
You are so right. We were talking about that the other day with someone, and I said, parking is just never been a problem. Everybody figured it out. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about, some people said, well, why don't you build a big parking deck? One, they're not cheap. And number two, I mean, I'd rather replace the roof than build a parking deck.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the nice thing about our parking situation is it is spread out so that when people leave, you can get out pretty quick. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about when you're in a parking garage, you're stuck in there.
Yeah, you really
get
are.
Out one way.
Oh, yeah.
So
it can be hours in a parking garage.
Right. That parking, and there's plenty of free street parking around, and even with the growth of North Little Rock, there's still plenty of parking. So that's just, and again, I can say that, you know, when people are unhappy about something, they let us know. But parking just has not been an issue.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you're not going to retire on me anytime soon. Hopefully you got some years left in you.
Absolutely. I'm loving what I'm doing. As my late mother would say, I don't tell anybody your secret. You do this for free. But I have a lot of fun at it. I've been doing it 45 years now.
Wow.
I go out and I see that big crowd and I just get a rush and really enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. What should we look for in the next 5 years or so? More of the same? More big shows?
More of the same. You know, I hope we'd like to get up to bat for some of these sports events. Concert-wise, you know, the thing I want to remind everybody is I can know a lot of people and they can enjoy our staff and appreciate what we do. But if people don't show up,
right.
So this has been a solid market, a solid secondary market. People show up, they buy tickets. That's really what's, you know, and I certainly appreciate the folks of Arkansas. I'd like to think we're a statewide, not just Central Arkansas. We have people coming from all over the state when we do a big show. And the fact that they do, they have shown that this is a really viable secondary market. And to your point, it's sometimes we bump up and get something that, you know, normally you wouldn't, you know, mm-hmm. It's like Harry Styles. That was a pleasant surprise. But it's because people know that this is a good, hot concert market.
Michael, thank you for all you do. Let's do this again sometime. This has been fun.
Sure has, Rex. I enjoyed it.
Michael Marion from Simmons Bank Arena. I'm Rex Nelson. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Southern Fried Podcast.